All eyes have been on Canberra this week for the unveiling of the 2015 federal budget. And it was an exciting lock-up, as it's formally known in the trade. I confessed eating more than my share of sweet jubes and cold pizza and reading more departmental briefings than really the recycling bin could cope with. But tasty offerings and policy wonks aside, all eyes were on the federal treasurer, who was doing what he could to distract us from last year's efforts. But first, I'd like you to meet...
Hello, my name is Kevin and I'm from France. I don't think it's fair because I think backpackers are... huge part of the Australian economy and the agriculture industry. I think it made sense that we had the same tax conditions than Australians. It just seems like we're being used, I think.
Yes, tax concessions. They were a big part of Tuesday night's budget, and some were very welcoming and some weren't so popular. In fact, Australia's fruit and veggie growers agree with that backpacker. We'll hear why a little later. But along with tax cuts, there was money to make the most of free trade deals, and loans for drought support were... well, I'm not sure. It's a very confusing area, but someone who does know all about drought loans is our political reporter, Anna Vito. She caught up with Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce, who admits there was some last-minute wheeling and dealing over tax cuts and when they might start.
That was not the initial plan, and that was the a change that was made. Nonetheless, we now have a 100% write-off for water reticulation in the 2017 year. So we've got next year for people to plan, and then they can start their build. So this has the capacity to really inspire the development. We have a dams program for public infrastructure, and this inspires the development of water infrastructure on land. I'm absolutely certain that people will start their planning now as to what they are going to build in that year.
Why the delay, though? For this, the Treasurer obviously made a huge deal of this in his speech last night. This was a centrepiece of the budget. Why push it out another year? Why was that decision made?
Well, it is there.
How useful, though, are tax breaks going to be right now for struggling farmers, particularly in the north, who have no income and where it's more difficult to even get the capital to invest in things like a quad runner because the banks are reluctant to loan?
Well, I'm happy you asked that, because within the budget papers you will see close to $500 million for farm household allowance. This is money that directly goes to those people who are doing it tough. On top of that, we've already lent out $270 million at concessional rates, and we have now allocated a further $250 million, $250 million for a further 12 months at rates of 3.84 and 3.21%.
First of all, it's important to note that the government isn't stumping up $250 million. That's the available amount that will be available for loans. The government will make more than that back eventually once they're repaid. But more importantly, the criteria under which these loans are handed out have been heavily criticised. Many farmers believe that the criteria don't allow people who should and who need access to those loans to have access to those loans. The government clearly disagrees. Why are you so sure the criteria are right?
I'll tell you why. Because when I got hold of this portfolio and with my department, we only had eight people receiving concessional loans. We now have 531 receiving concessional loans and have lent out $270 million.
It's still not allocating all the money that's been allocated to it, though. I mean, the original farm finance package was something like, which obviously was continued under your government, started under the previous government, was something like $420 million. If we've only handed out $250, that suggests there's some kind of disconnect, doesn't it?
Well, it was over the period to our tranches that have been made available for New South Wales and Queensland, which have been at the epicentre of the drought, have been able to be lent out. Where there has not been the drought, then of course you can't, if you're getting bogged, you can hardly apply for a drought facility. And this is the issue. But even in that, we're now making available the cheapest money you can get at 3.21%. And might I say that is also driving down the rates of the banks, and we're getting that as well, that people, the banks don't want you to leave, and so are offering you a cheaper rate. And that's to help restocking and replanting when you do get bogged.
Concessional loans are in vogue, actually, in this budget. The government's also offering concessional loans for Northern Australian development, leveraging about $183 million of Commonwealth cash to partner with state and territory governments, private enterprise, to hand out, hopefully, eventually $5 billion worth of concessional loans for infrastructure development. Again, though, we don't have the strategy behind that yet, because we still don't have a Northern Australia white paper, just as we still don't have an agriculture white paper in which we're expecting to get more drought detail. When are we going to get that strategic plan?
Well, I'm, I'm so looking forward to the look on my opposition's face when they say, I will put their $30 million food plan next to, we've got one program, beef roads, $100 million on that. With the agricultural white paper, yes, that is still there, but we have budgeted for it. It is passed in the budget. I know because I've got it through the Expenditure Review Committee. Let's just absorb what we've done last night.
Now, while tax breaks were the headline item out of Tuesday's budget, unfortunately for farmers, there's some confusion about when they'll be able to make the most of it. This year, the one after, or not until 2017. But all that aside, it has rung a pretty positive tone for those in rural business, on farms or in towns, including Bryn Rees in southern New South Wales.
Reaction has been positive. I've had a couple of customers ring me already this morning and inquiring, probably four or five customers have rung asking about it. They're going away to talk to their accountants about it.
Are they people that were already thinking about it, or have they been spurred on?
No, they're customers who have already got projects in the pipeline that I've already talked to.
A business of a $2 million turnover getting a 1.5% tax cut. How many businesses in this area would that affect, you think?
There's two parts to that question, and the first would be that for a business like ours, it wouldn't apply to us anyway. Rural merchandise is generally higher turnover, low margin type of business. On our farm business, that'd be fine, but there's another point to that, and that is that you've got to make a profit to pay tax.
Then there's also the fact that deduction on all assets under $20,000. Can you see many people coming in and purchasing from you equipment that would come in under the $20,000 at the moment?
Yes. I think that's definitely a good thing. I think that there'll be additional purchases made because of that, depending on when it comes in.
There's also the immediate deduction for purchases of equipment up to $20,000. Wool producer Terry Hayes, who farms near Goulburn, points out there's not too much that he may be looking at that comes in under $20,000.
I think that's going to be a great help when you have to spend the money, and I think it's a real incentive. If you had a year where you had a high income, it could mean that you could update a lot of machinery on your farm, and it would be very helpful in the longer term.
The figure of $20,000, is that a realistic figure for the equipment that you'd be requiring under this sort of thing?
You don't buy much equipment for $20,000 these days. Let's not be critical about it. It's a step in the right direction, but if I need a tractor, that's probably going to be closer to $70,000 or $80,000. If I need a new truck, it's probably closer to $70,000 or $80,000. So those bigger items, it's not going to help me with. I've still got to depreciate those in the normal way. But the smaller items, such as ATVs, yes, it will be helpful. I just bought a super spreader that cost $30,000, so that's over the limit.
His sentiments are echoed by a small business operator who works closely with wool producers in Crookwell, west of Goulburn. Andrew Lidner's family has made socks since 1921. The factory at the rear of their shop in the town's main street, using local fibre, aiming at the top end of the market. He says the 1.5% tax cut to businesses such as his, with a turnover of less than $2 million, won't dramatically alter his strategy. And with much of his equipment dating back to the 70s, the $20,000 threshold for deductions wouldn't cover an upgrade.
I don't think personally we're going to jump at it just like that, but certainly it is a good thing to have on hand to be able to help us along.
And the figure of $20,000, your sorts of equipment that you would buy, how would that sit there?
Just looking at a new sock machine, it'll be a substantial amount more than that. But for your smaller finishing off, overlockers or things like that, yeah, it certainly could be a helpful thing.
And that's woolen sock maker Andrew Lindner. Thanks to Michael Kavanagh for those interviews. It's a different story for a Queensland bore mechanic who was forced out of work in the height of drought. He says new tax offsets for water infrastructure could have helped him stay in business. Charlie Roberts left the central west Queensland town of Boulia 6 months ago when his profits fell too low. And he says new support in this federal budget is the right move.
Yeah, it's a very tough decision. There is a mentality out there of, you know, you don't give up, you don't quit. But in saying that, that is why people out there are as tough as what they are, because they have that mentality. And that crept into my mindset as well. You know, it was like, oh, don't be weak, you know, come on, stick it out. But you have to think sometimes that, you know, maybe, you know, just chill out for a little bit and see what happens in the future. If I had stayed on and run resources into the ground trying to make ends meet, or possibly going further afield and spending money on bigger machinery, you know, trucks, more equipment to do other things, you know, I might have put myself more into debt, find myself travelling a lot further for work, but, you know, leaving on top of things the way we did, we were able to set ourselves up in the new life a lot better, and yeah, and always there's an option there to come back later when things look a lot better and times are better.
So if you were still in Boulia, would the tax break for small businesses that has just been recently announced in the budget have helped you? Like, what could you have invested in or purchased to keep your business going as part of that extra help?
Yeah, I would have been able to purchase new equipment, new tools, maybe branch out into some bore inspection equipment, stuff like that, that could, you know, help broaden the horizons of my business. It would definitely have helped.
Further out, now that producers will be able to get tax offsets for water infrastructure in their 2017 tax return, would these sorts of tax breaks help to keep you in work by stimulating the local economy and customers?
Yeah, for sure. Anything like that that helps the landholders and the graziers is going to help. It's going to filter down to small businesses like myself, not only myself, for fences, you know, that they split a paddock for better grazing, the local grocer, you know, because there's more staff in town to do these jobs, and for myself, you know, installing tanks, solar units, more pumps, reconditioning older ones, it's all going to filter down. It would have been good.
Charlie Roberts there. Now, the other item that has many scratching their heads is changes to the working holiday visa, the one used by backpackers and others to earn a bit of money working hard on farms and, of course, playing even harder. The government argues its decision to scrap the tax-free threshold for 417 visa holders will raise the nation about $500 million. But up north, in Australia's horticultural food bowl, they're worried about finding people to do the picking job. And they're asking, why would any backpacker get out of bed for the post-tax $14 an hour they'll get under the new system? In Cairns, Charlie McKillop has the story.
One of Far North Queensland's largest producers and biggest employers, Dennis Howe, says the removal of the tax-free threshold is short-sighted.
It's not even a tax on the backpackers. It is a tax on the backpackers, but to me, it's a rural Australia tax. That money, you know, the less money these guys earn, the less they spend in local communities. It'll be harder for farmers to harvest their crops. Yeah, it's ludicrous as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's probably going to hurt Australian businesses and communities more than it's going to bloody hurt the backpackers, because they just won't come. You can't expect people to work their guts out for that sort of wage.
Howe's Farms employs around 450 workers in the height of its picking season on the Atherton Tableland. About one quarter of those are backpackers.
I've told a couple, I looked it up on the internet, it's not in next year's tax rates. So until it's on the internet, it doesn't exist at the moment. So it doesn't kick in till July. And I'd say a lot of them won't know, you know, our pay girl will be inundated with calls on our first payday in July. All of a sudden they'll have a lot less money. Yeah, a lot of these guys don't follow the media much. It'll certainly get around, that's for sure.
And when it does, what's your fear?
Our fear is that, yeah, we'll be leaving that old cliche of leaving your crop in the field. It'll be a lot harder to find workers, that's for sure.
But Mayor of the Mareeba Shire, Tom Gilmore, is not so sure.
Probably the biggest impact is going to be on farmers having to do the bookwork for the extra taxation issues, etc. But, you know, as a person who did that backpacking thing 40-odd years ago, I lived with the circumstance that I arrived in. I paid tax from day one. I think the young people of this world are not going to stop travelling simply because the Australian government says that they have to pay tax on the money that they earn. Some of them might have a grizzle, but I believe in the long term it's not going to make much difference.
The Federal Treasurer Joe Hockey has not responded to requests for an interview, but Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce was unrepentant about the changes to the way working holiday makers are taxed when he spoke to the ABC's 7:30 report.
Well, I think the vast majority come here because we still have a great wage rate. Australians have to work the full year to get the tax-free threshold. It does seem a little bit incongruous that someone can work 4 months, 5 months, 6 months and get a tax-free threshold. Because that actually puts them at a strategic advantage on two levels to their other Australian workers.
Dennis Howe says backpackers don't ask for equal benefits when it comes to accessing health and other services, and therefore shouldn't be penalised for doing jobs that many Australians refuse to do.
The only free medical they get is if they hurt themselves at work, where work cover naturally covers it, or the employer and WorkCover cover it, but they don't get any benefits at all.
It is the experience, though, that many are chasing, not the money. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I totally agree with that. You know, some of them use it to improve their English. Some of them do it for fun, but I can't think of too many people that would, say, go to Catherine in September, October, picking mangoes at 40-degree heat for $14 an hour and say, you know, this is a great lifestyle choice. Or go to Mareeba. Much as I like Mareeba, I don't know that I'd bother coming here for a holiday just to work hard and get exploited. Or St George or Carnarvon or any, you know. Fine if you're on the beach in Cairns or on the Esplanade and you do a few hours work here and there. But, you know, these guys work hard, 100% reliable, and they get exploited legally by our great Australian government.
And that's Dennis Howe from Howe's Farms in far north Queensland. Now, there was, of course, a renewed focus on northern development, despite the lack of an overall strategic vision. It was one that also created its own headlines after Tuesday's budget. And while a potential $5 billion in loans for investment in the north looked good, the reality is that money will only be forthcoming to those state government and private investors that are prepared to match it. Nonetheless, investment lawyer Scott Bouvier says the offer of loans for Northern Australia could make a real difference.
I think the most exciting thing is really to come, and that is the Northern Australian policy. The $5 billion there to be used for infrastructure there really is potentially a game changer. Both Australian food companies, whether it's building the beef industry, making it more flexible, or a bigger rice industry in Queensland, or other greenfield sugar opportunities, I think that combined with ports and more services up there really can, and that closeness to Asia really starts to make a difference.
And that's investment lawyer Scott Bouvier. Now, if you'd like to read a bit more about what the budget means for rural Australia, find out what the rest of the country thinks. Of course, the place to get that is online at abc.net.au/rural. Hope you've enjoyed listening to A Country Breakfast this week. Thanks to Carrie Dell for her help with technical production. I'm Edwina Farley. Stay with us on RN.